I'm going to read poems by John Joseph Ribeiro-Velo. He's a poet from Madagascar who lived from 1901 to 1937. And he lived under French colonialism and wasn't allowed to leave the island. He ended up committing suicide after he was refused once again to travel. He wanted to go to Paris and was not allowed to leave the island. The first poem I'll read is called Birth of Day, and it was published by Don Wentworth in Lilliput Review, which means it's a very short poem. Birth of Day. Have you ever seen dawn marauding about the orchard at night? Here she is returning along footpaths of the east, overgrown with swordgrass and flowers. She's completely spotted with milk, like those infants of yore raised by heifers. Her hands bearing a torch are black and blue, like the lips of a girl chewing mulberries. Escaping one by one and preceding her, the birds she has caught in her snare. Thank you. Ribeiro-Velo kept correspondence with writers and poets all over the world. It was one of his greatest joys. And since he wasn't allowed to travel, and that was one of the ways he communicated with the world. He wrote over 20 books, but when he died, more than half of them weren't even published. He worked for a publishing house, the first 2 years of which he worked for free, but at least they published his books. And even though it was a low-paying job, he kept it all his life. this poem is called Imprints, and it's about being at a post office. Imprints. More than the large, colorful maps that hang on the walls of my childhood, in which I consult every time my children clamber up the stairs of curiosity. More than the spherical globe of the world that looks out with its empty eyes at the books of my library. More than all the unsilvered mirrors that reflect the universe. More than this ridiculous prison which guards in vain the mountains and the forests and the seas and the immense savannas, tearing away sleep from the voyager who was in me. These imprints from everywhere, strewn about on the large table at the post office, then passed on from hand to hand, here and there, before being engulfed by the letter carrier's tan satchel, who then distributes these letters of love or friendship. They resound there in silence, the thoughts of the entire world and the diverse accounts of its life and all its events. There residing the most divine words and the purest stammerings, and the anguish of men and their serenity, and the ring one accepts onto a finger, and the dagger one plunges into the heart, and the first tears of an infant, and the earth one tosses onto a coffin. O imprints of everywhere, engulfed by a tan satchel, you often speak in a language unknown to me, in which you glorify with your interlaced arabesques like the veins of palms woven in Arabia, or a fine braid upon the nape of a Chinese, or like the curls of smoke charmed out of the pipe of an American redskin, and still trembling like bristles of corn or the patterns of an elegant dress that sculpt the body of an Indian woman. O assembled leaves, you want to fly away out from under your flocks. My wish to wander to the very ends of the world escapes with your regrets of the throngs which you've left. But when I've read you, O you that I couldn't wait for, in whom I went to look for before the letter carrier's passage, I pass by the customs office where I glance at the other entwined packages, similar to countless umbilical cords that are to be badly cut, and where the original breath is to be decanted once again. I see that all resemble each other everywhere, since the same sky is always the roof of the world, that the winds always enclose it with thick, invisible walls, and that the desires of grass sprout everywhere beneath our footsteps, like thoughts and meditations, or haste and negligence, that were made of these painted leaves and flying arrive to me from all over the world. Thank you. This next poem is a poem in praise of Paul Gauguin, who he saw as representing non-European people as equals, which he really saw as a significant thing for that time, living under colonialism. So this poem is called In Recognition of Paul Gauguin. I compare, I confront the shadows of shades animated by the master, which sleep in the book of Robert Ray, like enchained captives, and some oceanic leaves where there are images in black, and the men who surround me, and myself besides. Then some songs of friends born in cold lands, but called to live on torrid seashores, and these words for songs you call pantoums, from which blossom high shoots of bamboo harpooning the sun. And these nostalgic chants lull with syllabic melody the Amerindian sky's infant moon, and the inner voice as well, where long I have listened to its babble of tongues. Who will explore the darkness of obscure affinities, bridges of light carried by the waves and shadows of the ages? Who will direct the choir celebrating the origin all share in these enraptured spirits along austral beaches, fixed in this book I peruse, and in these young men and these young women, equally rendered from nature by the fall of the bird of light, then by its rising again. I watch out for them during summer's rain, and I see them, those who extend their hands out to each other along the frontiers of legends, along the banks of the river of fables. And while the song of the continents rises up, I call out your name, O Paul Gauguin, O Paul Gauguin, self-exiled to a remote shore, where perhaps my ancestors embarked in the slips, there, where I myself might have remained while awaiting your miracle. Thank you. I'm just going to read one more poem. This book is just 30 single-page poems. It was the last book published during his life, his swan song, and I'm going to read poem number 17. The black glassmaker, of whom no one has ever looked upon his countless eyes, and his shoulders even, that none has ever made shrug, this slave all adorned with beads of glass, who is robust as Atlas, and who carries the seven heavens upon his head. People say the multifarious river of clouds will carry him away, the river where his loincloth has already been soaked. Thousands and thousands of fragments of glass fall from his hands, but rebound towards his brow, bruised by the mountains where the winds are born. And you witness his daily torment and his labor without end. You witness his thunderstruck agony as sea conches resound to the ramparts of the east. But you no longer feel pity for him, and it no longer even occurs to you that his suffering begins again each time the sun capsizes. Thank you.